John chapter 10. Just delightful to be here. I'd like to read verse 15 of John chapter 10. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I've entitled this message, For Whom Did Christ Die? For whom did Christ die? Now, He did die. He said, I lay down my life. He is the only one to yield up the ghost. No mere man ever did that. Do you know death couldn't even come to him until he gave it permission? And at that time, he yielded up the ghost. He was not a victim. Look in verse 17 of John chapter 10. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me. He was not a victim, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Now, He did die. And there was a reason for His death. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. There was a reason for His death. He died for a reason. What was the reason of His death? Old age? Disease? Accident? Murder? No, there's only one reason for death. One reason. What is that reason? Sin. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. The Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, He was made to be sin. Now that word sin in that passage of Scripture I just quoted, He was made to be sin, it's not a verb. It's a noun. He was made the thing itself, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree. The Lord hath laid upon Him the iniquity of us all. Now, the sins of those He died for, so truly became His, that He said in Psalm 40, verse 12, mine iniquities have gone over my head as a heavy burden. They're too heavy for me. He didn't say Todd's iniquities imputed to me. He said my iniquities. That's how truly my sin became His. The reason for His death was sin. It was not to provide us the greatest example of obedience, although it did. It was not to show us how much He loved us, although it did. He died because of sin. Isaiah 53 verse 8 says, For the transgression of my people was he stricken. That's why he died. Because of sin. For whom did he die? He did die. They took him down from the cross, a lifeless corpse. He did die. He did die for a reason. He did die for sin. Now the question I want us to consider is, for whom did he die? But before I attempt to answer that question from the Scriptures, let me ask another question. Why ask this question to begin with? Is it an issue? Is it an issue the Scripture raises? Is this an important question? Should I even be asking this question? Why ask this question? Is it a question that we ought to ask? Well, I believe it is. And let me give you five reasons as to why I believe this question must be raised. For whom did Christ die? Now, here's my first reason for asking this question, because I want to know the answer. I want to know the answer. I want to know the truth. Now, I want to be right about this. Who doesn't? Everybody wants to be right. I want to be right. I probably don't do real well with people when they disagree with me. You know, I want to be right. But I don't so much want to be right here as I want to know what's right. I want to know what God's Word actually teaches. I even want to know if the Word of God really addresses this issue. I want to know the truth. Does the Word of God address this? Now, here's my second reason for asking this question, for whom did Christ die? First, because I want to know the truth regarding this. But secondly, I want to know the truth regarding who He died for, so I can know what His death means. I cannot know what His death really means without some understanding of who He died for. Now let me try to give you an example of what I'm trying to talk about. For whom did Christ die? Well, let's talk about Judas for just a moment. Is Judas called in the Scriptures the son of perdition? Is there any doubt where this man is, Judas, right now as I speak? And this is a hard thing to talk about, I realize that, but he's in the lake of fire right now. He's in eternal destruction, whatever that means, Judas. Did Christ pay for his sins? Did He die for him? If He did, what does His death mean? What did His death do? If He died for somebody, and if He paid their sin debt and put away their sins, and they're said to be complete, as you were saying, and they wind up in hell, that would be what you said wasn't so, wouldn't it? The difference between Judas and, let's say, Peter, if Christ paid for the sins of Judas just as much as Peter, and we know Judas is the son of perdition, we know Peter is in the presence of the Lord, whatever that means right now. If Christ paid for the sins of them both, if He died for them both, that means it's not the blood of Christ that saved them. It's something Peter did that Judas did not do. Now, I really do not know what the death of Christ means if I do not know for whom He died. For whom did Christ die? Here's another reason why I ask this question. I want to know so I can know how to preach the gospel. If He did die for all men without exception, then I am telling a lie if I say He did not. And if He did not die for all men without exception, then I am lying. I am lying if I say he did. If I assure the crowd I'm preaching to, God loves you and Christ died for you, I'm not preaching the gospel, am I? If he didn't die for all men, without exception. Can I call upon all men to believe and all men to repent if he didn't die for all men? Yes, I can. Yes, I can, honestly and sincerely. But I know this, if I don't know for whom he died, I'm not going to know how to preach the gospel. Now, you can just write that down. You cannot know how to preach the gospel. You do not know how to call upon men to believe and to repent and come to Christ unless you know for whom he died. For whom did Christ die? Here's my fourth reason for asking this question. I want to know so I can determine if I'm one of them. And as a matter of fact, that's probably the biggest reason for me. I want to know. I want to know if he paid for my sins. I want to know if I can have this assurance, this glorious assurance that his death brings his people. Turn with me for just a moment to Romans chapter 8. Verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that's risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. I want to know if I'm an us. Am I in that group? Because you look at the blessings this us experience. If Christ died for you, you must be saved. I mean, you don't run the risk of the hazard of the possibility of being anything but saved if Christ died for you. Now, I want to know if I'm in this group, this us. I sure want to be, don't you? Here's my fifth reason for asking this question. For whom did Christ die? Paul said concerning Christ and his death, he loved me. That's already been quoted tonight. He loved me. And he gave himself for me. Now I know this. If I can be assured that he loved me and gave himself for me, I know I'm going to love him in return, and I'm going to give myself wholeheartedly, unreservedly, lock, stock, and barrel to him. This is actually the key to consecration. This is it right here. This is the key. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then are all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him that loved us and gave himself for us. So here's five reasons for asking this question. I want to know the answer. I want to know for whom he died. I want to know the answer to that question. I want to be able to understand the meaning of Christ's death. I want to know how to preach the gospel. I want to know so I can know if he died for me. And I want to be, whatever it means to be totally consecrated to him, that's what I want to be. Now, what does God's Word actually teach regarding this subject? What is the answer the Bible gives? Not what does our preacher or denomination teach, not what is the answer given by the seminary professors or a systematic theology, not what is the Calvinist view or the Arminian view. What is the answer the Word of God gives to this question? Does the Word of God actually deal with this issue? Well, look back in our text in John chapter 10. Here in one simple statement, the Lord Jesus answers this question. He said in the last phrase of verse 15, I lay down my life for, say this with me, the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. For whom did Christ die? The sheep. Now that's simple, isn't it? I mean, there's what the Word of God says. I lay down my life for the sheep. Well, does the Bible deal with this? I just read it. There it is. Now, who are the sheep? Who are the sheep? That's an important question, and we're going to consider that because the sheep are identified very clearly in this same passage of Scripture where He says, I lay down my life for the sheep. Well, who are the sheep? Well, look over in verse 24. The one thing that I want to point out before we go on is not everybody is a sheep. Look in verse 24. Then came the Jews round about Him and said unto Him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. You know, that's a... If He's the Christ? I mean, they just drips with their unbelief and their wickedness. If He's the Christ. He's the Christ. And He wasn't making them to doubt. Their unbelief was causing them to doubt. Their wickedness, their evil nature was... He wasn't making them to doubt. He never made anybody to doubt. His Word is truth. His Word is words of spirit and life. Oh, I love His Word. Everything that comes out of His mouth. And He didn't make them to doubt. Jesus answered them, verse 25, if thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. As if He... Jesus answered them, I told you. And you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but you believe not because you are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, not everybody is a sheep. Turn with me for just a moment. Hold your finger there in John 10 and turn to Matthew 25. Verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left. There are sheep and there are goats. And a goat never becomes a sheep. And a sheep never becomes a goat. Not everybody is a sheep. Well, who are His sheep? Not everybody's a sheep. You know, for whom did He die? He died for the sheep. If not everybody's a sheep, do you know what that means? That means He did not die for everybody. And there's no other way to look at that than that. He did not die for everybody. How can that be fair? How can it be fair for Him to die for somebody and not die for somebody else? How in the world could that possibly be fair? Anybody ever thought that? Since when are you in a position to sit in judgment on God and consider yourself to be fit and competent to judge what He does as fair or unfair? Are you competent for that? Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? You and I are not fit to sit in judgment on God Almighty and try to decide whether or not we agree with what He's doing or whether or not we think it's fair. He's God, and whatever He does is right. He doesn't do it because it's right. It's right because He does it. He has no law over His head. He's God. Bow. Bow to whatever He says. Now, if not everybody's a sheep, who are the sheep? Can they be identified in the Word of God? Well, yeah, real clearly. Look at our text in John chapter 10. He's talking about His sheep here. He says to these fellows in verse 26, "You believe not because you're not of My sheep. As I said unto you, you're all not sheep." Well, the Lord speaks so plainly. I can't look at somebody and I can't look at somebody I don't know and know whether or not they're sheep or not. But He can. He knows His sheep. And He tells these fellows, "You're not of My sheep." My sheep, He says, "hear My voice. I know them and they follow Me, and I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. My Father which gave them Me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand." Who are the sheep? Well, right off the bat, they're the ones the Father gave Him. They are the elect. My Father which gave them Me. You know, this was a favorite phrase of our Lord Jesus Christ. "All that the Father giveth Me shall come to Me. Him that cometh to Me I'll in no wise cast out. This is the will of Him that sent Me, that of all which He hath given Me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day." Would you turn with me to John 17? This is our Lord's great high priestly prayer for His people. And there's not a more awesome passage of Scripture. We're allowed to listen in as the Son prays to the Father. And six times in this chapter, He refers to those the Father has given Him. Look in verse 2. "As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him." Verse 6. "I've manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest Me out of the world." Look in verse 9. "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given Me, for they are Thine." Verse 11. "Now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to Thee. Holy Father, keep through Thine own name those whom Thou hast given Me." Verse 12. "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in Thy name. Those that Thou gavest Me, I have kept, and none of them is lost." Look in verse 24. "Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given Me be with Me where I am." Now there isn't any doubt in my mind who the sheep are. They are those the Father gave Him. They are the elect of God, identified in this passage of Scripture. Now this is the uniform teaching of Scripture. This is not just pulling out something. "Feed the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood." Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. "By one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." This is the uniform teaching of Scripture. The Scripture I thought of is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3, where Paul's declaring the gospel. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." And you remember what he said in verse 3? He said, "The gospel is how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." The gospel is not Christ died for our sins. I love that precious statement. I'm not in any way taking away from the importance of that precious statement. But if all I say is Christ died for our sins, I didn't tell the gospel. That's right. It's how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, according to the Old Testament Scriptures. That's the Scriptures he's speaking of when he makes that statement. Now, when that blood was shed and put on the doorpost, was it put over everybody's doorpost? It's just Israel, wasn't it? You remember how God said, against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that you may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. When the great high priest representing the Lord Jesus Christ went into the very Holy of Holies with that breastplate, did that breastplate save the world? No. It had the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. That's who he represented. For whom did Christ die? His sheep, his elect. And we don't have to read the Lamb's Book of Life to know who they are, because our text tells us. Look in verse 26 again of John chapter 10. Who are the elect? How can they be identified? He said, "You believe not because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you." You know what sheep do? They believe. Every single one of them, they believe. That crowd that said, "How long are you going to make us to doubt? If you're the Christ, tell us plainly." I'll tell you something a sheep knows. He is the Christ. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God's Christ, God's anointed Messiah. I believe He's God's anointed prophet. I believe He's God's anointed priest. I believe He's God's anointed King. I believe He's the Son of God. That Ethiopian eunuch says, "Here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? If there's a reason why I shouldn't be, I want to know." Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And I do too. I really do. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Creator, that He's God manifest in the flesh, that He's the only Savior of sinners. He's God's Christ. I believe. I really do. I love that scripture in Acts 13, verse 48. "As many as were ordained to eternal life." Anybody know the last word? Believed. Believed. Who are the sheep? They're the ones who believe. Look what he says in verse 27. "My sheep hear my voice." You ever heard the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, I've heard preachers. They say, "Well, the Lord said this to me, and the Lord said that to me." They even say, "You know, He said my name." I don't believe them for a second. That's a lie. They've never heard His voice. No. I'm sure of that. Are you sure of it? Absolutely. Absolutely. But I'll tell you what. I have heard His voice in a much more loud way than an audible voice. You've heard His voice when you know this is the gospel. This is not just the preacher's opinion. This is not just the denominational distinction. This is God's truth. This is God's word. You've heard God's voice when you know this is the truth. You know that? You've heard His voice. Well, I don't agree with that. Well, you ain't heard His voice then.
That's exactly right.
Look what he goes on to say. "My sheep hear my voice." Verse 27. "And I know them." I know them. And He doesn't know everybody. And He knows who you are. He knows everything you've done. He knows everything I've done. He knows everybody in that sense. He's omniscient. But what about that crowd? He said, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. I never loved you. I never knew you to be one of mine. I never had an intimate relationship with you. You were never my bride. I never knew you." But His sheep are the ones He knows.
Now,
here's what I'm hoping in, that He knows me.
Now that you've known God, or rather, are known of God,
He knows His sheep. Verse 27, He says, they follow me. Who are the sheep? They're the ones who follow Him. Now, how in the world do you follow somebody? There's only one way to follow somebody. You keep your eyes on them. You look at them. Where they go, you go. You move where they move. Whatever direction they're going, you keep your eyes on them. A believer is someone who's always looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. And even when he doesn't see Him as he wants to see Him, he knows that He is complete in Him, that He is His salvation. The Lord Jesus is my salvation. Now, sometimes I see that real clearly. Sometimes it gets a little foggy. But I tell you what, when it's foggy, that's when I really know He's my only hope. I mean, there ain't no doubt about it then. You know, I mean, if the only hope I got. They follow Him. They keep their eyes on Him. They continue looking to Christ. Look what it says next. He says in verse 28 regarding His sheep, I give unto them eternal life. They're the people who have eternal life. They've got the life of God in their very soul. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. The life of God in their soul. That's what the new birth is. That's what the new nature is. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Eternal. This is life eternal. That they might know Thee. Actually, I'm claiming to be somebody who actually knows the living God. And I'm not talking about name dropping either. I'm talking about He knows me too. He knows me. That's my hope. I know Him. He knows me. He gives unto me eternal life. And look what it says next in verse 28. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. You know who the sheep are? They're the ones who never perish. They're the ones who persevere all the way to the end. They don't quit. They don't get drowned with the cares of this world like the thorn choked here. They don't depart when they see the persecution coming like the stony ground here. They continue in the faith, grounded and settled. They continue looking to Christ. They continue following Him. That's who the sheep are. They're the ones who will never perish. Do you believe a sheep of Christ can perish? No! No! Look what He says. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I think of the strength of the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Now, because of who died, those for whom He died cannot perish. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who is He that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Need to say anything else? I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that He died for me. For whom did Christ die? The sheep. And they're identified in this passage of Scripture. Now I want to close by asking a few questions. Now you listen real carefully to this question. Can the gospel be preached? Can the gospel, the one and only gospel, can the gospel be preached without preaching for whom He died? And you know how I want to answer that question? And I know the answer to that question, but here's the way I'm going to answer that question. I'm going to ask you to answer that question for yourself. And I can tell you this, you won't have any peace until that question's answered. Now you won't. You won't have any peace. And that question was answered in this message. I didn't hear it. Well, it was. I'm sorry you didn't hear it. It was answered. Am I saved if I reject this? Well, I'm going to let you try to answer that for yourself too. I think that's the best way to do it. You better find out the answer. But here's the question I really wanted to get to. I wanted to get to those other ones. They were very. But here's the question that I want to try to answer. Those other ones, you know the answer. You do. But here's the question I want to leave you with. Can I know for sure that He died for me? Am I going to have to wait till I see the Lamb's Book of Life before I can know whether or not He died for me? Now, I know. I've thought about the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, if it could be opened up to me, you know whose name I'd look for first? It wouldn't be yours. It wouldn't be yours. I'm sorry. I'd look at you on down the line. But well, can I know that my name's written in that book? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can know. You can walk out of here for sure knowing you're complete in Him. You can walk out of here with all the joy of full assurance. You can have it right now. Now, how can I know for sure if Jesus Christ the Lord died for me? Well, let me quote this scripture to you. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Who did He die for? Those who are without strength. Not a little bit. Without. Without. Totally and completely without strength. No spiritual strength. Would that be you? Christ died for who? The ungodly. Do you fit that description? Do you fit that description? Without strength. Ungodly. And you really believe that. You're not just giving the right answer. It's what you really believe about yourself. Everybody here knows how to give the right answer. It's one thing to say you believe in total depravity. It's another thing to believe you're totally depraved. I mean, it's two totally different things. Without strength. Ungodly. Do you believe that about yourself? Then if you do, I guarantee you Jesus Christ died for you. I guarantee you, there's no doubt about it. There's that's it. Do you believe He's the Son of God? Do you believe He's God's Christ? Do you believe that whatever He intends to do because of who He is, it must be done? You believe that? I think of those two blind fellows come groping up in there and he said, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" You know what they said? "Yea, Lord." You believe? Beloved, if you do, Jesus Christ shed His precious blood for you, and all the joys of full assurance are yours. Right now. Let's close by looking at Romans 8 just again for just a moment. Romans 8. Verse 28. And we know. Now they may not, but we do. We do. We know. That all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. Sorry. Done. Is it really? Yes. Yes. In Christ. Union with Him. We just heard about it. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not? What could possibly prevent Him? It's not going to happen. How shall He not? With Him also freely, without looking for a reason in us, give us all things. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who is He that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that's risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Amen.